With every sun that comes up, comes the question. Where to go out on this town? Downtown Disney. It's like hitting the hot spots of every happening city on the planet. Restaurants you've read about. Shops you've dreamed about. Clubs that cut your curiosity loose. Downtown Disney. In a city of choices, the metropolis of fun.
I'm a little hot and bothered after listening to that. That was very, all right,
yeah.
Come on down. I mean, I was going to go with more of a, like, this ain't Texas, because it's Disney Springs. Because once you hear all the information we have today, you're going to feel like you're in the wild, wild west, yeah. Everybody. Back in the olden days. But yeah, I was not expecting that. So, good times for downtown Disney. It's like, so sexual.
Oh my goodness, it kind of is. And this is something we talked about on our Pat Chat, and this week was a week where we opened up our live stream to all levels of our Patreon. Otherwise it's just certain levels every Monday, but we were playing clips from the Disney Springs background music, like the area music, and people were guessing what songs. And you mentioned a little bit about how that beginning clip of our episode sounded, because it's by the way, that was a commercial from 1997, I think, when it became Downtown Disney. It's changed its names over the years. We'll talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. But we also don't really have a lot of other stuff today. No news nuggets, no history, because this is jam-packed. We're going right into Big Top, everybody. It's Big Top of the Big Pod. And because we have a lot of storyline to talk about with Disney Springs. But anyway, I guess I'm just going to jump right into it by playing this music, because I think this is a great way to set the tone for, I don't know, anytime you're feeling a little romantical. Remember that I posed the question of, like, what is your go-to music in a during a romantic encounter or something like that? If the answer wasn't
this. Now we all have our answer. It's Disney Springs
it's
music.
It's this. And this, and see if you can figure out what song this is. That slow, like that beat.
It's like if
there was.
Okay, well, we're not gonna tell you what it is because you're gonna have to guess it.
Yeah, figure it out, everybody.
We don't want to give it away. Listen to it multiple times if you have to go back. Anyways, well, Les, you ready to jump in?
Yeah. So this is gonna be part one. Where we're really just focusing on the storyline, and I don't think that we set out for this to be a two-parter. But as I'm sitting there reading over the history or the storyline, I should say, of Springs, I was like, this is a lot. And so, like, you won't even hear us talk about Pleasure Island today. And you're like, well, what is there to talk about with Disney Springs, Downtown Disney, Disney Village Marketplace, if you don't mention Pleasure Island? Well, guess what? You have about 50 minutes worth of stuff coming your way that doesn't even include Pleasure Island.
It'll be another episode.
Yes. So we'll talk about Pleasure Island and some other big changes next time.
Which is crazy, because for a long time we were like, I mean, should we even do Disney Springs? There can't be that much.
Yeah, who knew?
There for it. But considering all the other resorts we've done, this is a lot.
Yes.
Like, reading through it, it's like, I feel like I need to take notes on, like, okay, wait, what? So how did this all? So anyways, luckily we have really good notes. So we're going to jump into it. All right. As always, we're going to start with what is officially from Disney. Like, what do they say about this destination? And here is their storyline, as they say. So it says, and I quote, right, Greg?
Quote.
Disney Springs is a themed retail dining and entertainment center inspired by Florida's charming waterfront towns, historic architecture, and natural beauty. The sprawling promenade features four district neighborhoods, The Landing, Marketplace, West Side, and Town Center, built around bubbling springs. Which I'm actually surprised, because knowing what we're about to tell everybody, it's like, really? That's it? That's all you had?
That's on, like, the website, right? If you go on My Disney Experience or the Disney World website, that's the quick little wink at the storyline.
It's almost like there was too much that they, like, just were like, you know what? We can't tell people really get into
town.
It right now.
This is spring.
So it's just a town. All right. So I'm going to start with the story of the town of Springs. Their storyline is that, and get your pen out, okay, get ready. In the mid-1800s, the first settlers built a cabin and a ranch near the natural spring. Then more settlers arrived and more cabins were built after that. After that, a sawmill was built to provide lumber to the town as more buildings were being created. more buildings turned into reasons for more people to visit the area, and then seeing the natural phenomenon of the springs. So following the Civil War, a pump house was built near an accessible point on the spring to provide clean water to settlers and to bottle the water for visitors. So growth continued, and then in the late 1880s, the town of The Springs was officially established.
After that, The Springs was exploding with growth. Bridges were built to make a new area accessible. This island was soon occupied by business owners who built warehouse-themed buildings, a dock, a marina, a train station, and all of this was in the name of preserving the flow of goods and visitors. So they weren't just worried about people visiting it, they also wanted merchants so they can continue growing their businesses. This island became known as The Landing. And as maritime trade, so goods coming in on boats, increased, mm-hmm. a boathouse with a landmark harbor master's tower was built. This area became popular with leisurely boaters, and soon this boathouse began serving seafood, steaks, and more to visitors. Sound familiar?
Delish!
The area needed its own power supply, so they eventually put up a brick smokestack power plant, and it offered steam power energy to the community. On the western side of this area called The Landing, a train station was welcoming in freight deliveries, and after that, more travelers. They switched from freight to also passenger trains. And eventually, this space became home to a dining location with traces of train tracks still visible. During the advent of air travel, a terminal was built across from the train depot. And continuing on with air travel, there was a combination of air travel and water. And at that time, they decided they had a need for a float plane hangar. And this was no ordinary hangar. It was built near the marina and the boathouse. And it was built by a renowned traveler with a famous archaeologist friend. So those are the official storyline items of it. But let's break it down and really tell you what the heck they're even talking about and all of that stuff. And then what it is now. So the pump house and the bottling facility that was first built on this landing is now known as Morimoto Asia. And if you didn't know that, you might want to look at it, because at the top of that building, it's got the big Springs Bottling Company logo on it. Mm-hmm. That's what they're talking about. That used to be the area that bottled the water from the springs and would get sold around to neighboring towns. The boathouse that I just mentioned is indeed, you guessed it, The boathouse restaurant.
The boathouse.
It still serves seafood and steak now, as it did then. And you can still see the Harbor Master's Tower there as well. Of course, that's like the big tower that you can see as you're walking around. The steam-based power plant that was built there to provide power to the town is the Edison Restaurant. This is Disney's official description of the Edison. Designed to resemble an abandoned 1920s power plant, this cavernous, split-level space boasts all of the ingredients for a memorable lunch and dinner, or an epic evening out. Standout features include blah, 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 decor, blah, 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 blah. So the important thing there is that they, if you're wondering, if you ever read that description, like, what are they talking about, 1920s power plant? It's part of the storyline, everybody. Mm-hmm. This the general overall storyline of Springs is reusing, recycling, plus upping, if you will, old things. Upcycling, I think, is a phrase that I've heard, too.
Yeah, upcycling.
The train station that was built that I talked about on the western side of the landing is now the restaurant STK. And if you are standing outside the restaurant, just look down. You'll see train tracks right there. And maybe you've walked by this restaurant a bunch of times. It's like right, there's a bridge right there, right? You overlook the water. And then if you're passing STK on your left, you'll be walking on the bridge, the big balloons on your right. Not only are there train tracks there, but it has that train depot track switch thing right there too, because it would be switching around. Like so it's got that big circular thing with the track kind of like askew, letting you know that's where the train track switch was for that space. The air travel terminal that was built there is now Maria and Enzo's restaurant. And Disney's description for this is, quote, "Relish the traditional flavors of Sicilian cooking set in a transformed airline terminal. This elegant eatery's open, airy dining room offers beautiful views of Lake Buena Vista," blah, 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 blah. So if you're wondering, why the heck am I eating in what might have been an early 1900s airport, that
but
was
it's
it.
It's like Sicilian food.
Yeah, and also it's Sicilian food. It was repurposed. The airport that was built there, the terminal, was repurposed into Maria and Enzo's. the hangar that I mentioned, this is the overlap of boats and planes for a float plane hangar, is now known as Jock Lindsey's Hangar Bar. It was actually always that way. I did mention that it was built by a renowned traveler and a famous archaeologist. Buckle up for this one, everybody. To kind of like sum up the story between Jack Lindsey and the other dude, here's Disney's description of the bar. Quote, how did Indiana Jones's barnstorming pilot Jock... Have I been saying Jack Lindsey?
You said Jack once.
Whoops. But okay. Quote.
We got it. Jock.
How did Indiana Jones's barnstorming pilot Jock Lindsey end up in Disney Springs? Fans of Raiders of the Lost Ark can't forget Indy's easygoing pilot Jock Lindsey, owner of a pet snake named Reggie. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I don't think I've seen the movies. But how did Jock arrive here? The two Globetrotters stumbled upon Disney Springs in 1938. Remember that year? 1938, while chasing down a mythology-based tip in Central Florida. Attracted to the town's natural springs and lush terrain, Jock bought some waterfront property and eventually settled down, piloting seaplane tours across the fast-growing Sunshine State. Jock eventually built an airplane hangar, air tower, and runway, and invited fellow members of the Society of Explorers and Adventurers to pay him a visit. Can't wait to talk about the SEA on our part two of this when we talk about Pleasure Island. His home base soon became a popular stopover and watering hole for world travelers and locals alike. Jock Lindsey's Hangar Bar was born. Today, thrill-seeking families cross borders and continents to soak up the rugged charm of this artifact-strewn hangar bar. And with its spare airplane parts, salvaged equipment, and dusty mementos of glory days gone by.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I grew up on all the Indiana Jones movies. It was like one of those, you know, if it was ever on TV, like it was on. So I love that they weaved the storyline into that because it totally mixes in with it. You're like, okay, that adds up. That all makes sense. Okay.
And that whole story is so that you can kind of drink and get crunk at night. Yeah. Like, that's so crazy
get
to me.
Get crunk at night. You see kids gather around. Crunk was a word used back in the day to mean lit or I don't even know what the word is that they use today.
I don't know.
Anyways.
I just think it's so cool that you're walking around this landing area, right? You've probably gone by. By the way, shout out to Pete, who politely called me out for calling the restaurant Paradiso 71, not 37, twice. In the 2 weeks ago episode, we were talking about something. Or maybe it was last week. I can't remember. Either way, oops, sorry. But if you're walking in that area, you might notice that the buildings are like brick. And maybe you're like, well, that's not really like a new thing. That's not really the design of now. Continue looking, because you'll see a lot of bricked up windows or like entryways, doorways that used to be something else. I was also reading up that the brickwork that's there, the parts that guests can touch are real bricks. But the further away, like kind of up a little bit, or if they're down alleyways, they become fake brick, essentially.
Yeah.
But they wanted it to be authentic and to feel and look real. And it do. Okay.
Yeah.
Some other notes about the landing section, if I may. To this day, there are several nods to the past. And these nods to the past in the landing section, I would be so shocked to hear that you all have noticed this, because I've been going to Springs this whole time, right? Before it was called Springs, never once noticed these things until I was doing some research.
Yeah.
I literally sat on Google Maps the other day and like did Street View to find these, because I was like, these are not real. I would have noticed these things. They're real. And I can't wait to post photos of them after this episode releases. So they are, I don't know why it's this, but they are terracotta panels. By the way, whenever I hear terracotta, is it Ann Geddes, the one with the babies? I used to have this painting or like this photo that was a bunch of babies in terracotta pots. Yes. And Nicole hated it and I loved it. We got it at like a garage sale. And I wish I still had it. I don't know where it went. So anytime I hear terracotta, I think of little babies and potted plants.
Joey from Friends.
Oh, it's
except
great.
This one. You could leave this one.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, there are terracotta panels that exist around the landing. Across from the boathouse is the Joffrey's location. And if you look up and you're kind of like standing at the storefront, on the brick facade of the storefront are two of these terracotta panels. One shows workers standing around and unloading cargo from a paddle wheel boat at the dock, which is to mm-hmm. kind of pay homage to how we used to be, like I lived on the landing, that the Disney Springs inhabitants, the Springs inhabitants used to take on goods
from ancestors.
Yes. And then the other panel was showing a few guests boarding a boat for a pleasure cruise, which was something that was at the advent of that space. That's why the boathouse was there, not the restaurant, but the original boathouse, to allow for leisurely boating. So those two scenes kind of depicting where we came from when we mm-hmm. got to where we are now. So when you are visiting Disney Springs, it used to be a place, a much simpler time of just going on a nice boat ride or unloading a ship.
The Springs.
Right after Morimoto, as you head towards Gideon's, there's another panel that depicts two workers with a prop plane. So if you're standing and looking at this terracotta panel, if you turn around, you'll notice that that panel is facing the hangar bar. Mm-hmm. And it's not a coincidence that the other one at the boat at the Joffrey's is facing the boathouse, kind of like what it's paying homage to is kind of looking across at it. Just another example of like the extreme detail that was put into some of the things that we find ourselves in Disney. The fourth terracotta panel in the landing section is right next to the ganachery. This one's a little bit lower to the ground. It might be easier to see, but it shows a few railway workers working on a locomotive engine. And of course, this is a reference to the nearby train station, aka STK. This one isn't facing the train station, but it is just a few doors down. Mm-hmm. from that train station. And if you're standing at the panel and you look across the way, you can see the train tracks on the ground.
Wow. So much.
So much stuff.
Yeah. And that's just the landing
area. That's just the landing. And by the way, I didn't even know it was an island. I know, like, you walk across a couple of different bridges here and there as you're navigating Springs. But if you go on Google Maps, you'll notice it literally is an island. I had no idea.
Yeah. All right, we're going to talk about the town center area next. So the storyline here is that word continued to spread about the springs and its water and how cool it was. And so rumors were that the water had medicinal effects on those who drank it, medical effects. This attracted even more visitors to the area. They visited for the special water, and then they stayed for the natural Florida environment. Magical water. So orange, lime, and other citrus crops were planted, and a water tower was erected featuring the name The Springs. So in the early 1900s, this area of Springs, known as the town center, it's literally in the center of the town. It began attracting merchants who wanted to sell their goods on the increasingly popular Market Street. So this section of the town center was designed for shop owners to sell their handmade goods, specialty products, and fresh citrus. It became so popular that the shops eventually received a covered walkway to better withstand the Florida weather. Sound familiar, everyone? Mm-hmm. So let's go a little bit further into that. Earlier, we mentioned that the General Springs area started with a ranch, a cabin, and then a sawmill. So the ranch was known as Glowing Oak Ranch. And over time, as the family moved on, it became Deluxe Burger. This is why the Disney description of this restaurant includes the line, and I quote, "Rediscover this ranch-inspired eatery featuring a menu of fan-favorite burgers, hand-cut fries, and refreshing beverages." Within the building are a bunch of references or design choices that point back to the ranch days, which to me, I'm like, this is all making sense, because when you're in there, like, I was always like,
where the hell am I?
I understand the decor of this place, but okay. Like, I always knew there was something, but I want to say at one point I said to Doug, like, I need to look up what the whole storyline is here because of all the things. But anyway, so right as you walk in, to the left is a framed poster from 1905. That reads, calling old friends and new arrivals to Glowing Oak Ranch for the first ever burger day. It's no mint steak, it's hamburgers. Next to that is another frame display that has a postcard, like newspaper clippings, and a handwritten letter. And one item in there is a flyer that says ranch hands needed. So when at the bottom, at the bottom it says, like, apply in person, asking Mr. Martin Sinclair. And then let's talk about who Martin Sinclair is. Who is Martin, you may ask? Martin was the original founder of the Springs. He and his wife, Clara, discovered the Springs water source in 1850 and were the owners of the Glowing Oak Ranch. So throughout this restaurant, you'll see articles and other references to Glowing Oak Ranch, including one about the grand opening of Glowing Oak Restaurant on 7/24/1921. This is what it was called before Walt Disney purchased the land and this restaurant. So there's also a flyer for a Grand Centennial Expo at Springs. And in the picture is the circus tent that became iconic on the west side of Springs, which we will talk about that later, more on that later. So moving on from Deluxe Burger, the cabin that was part of the original Springs is now the Welcome Center, which is guest relations. So if you know, like, you're like, when you walk out of Deluxeburg, you can kind of look across and it's like that big cabin area there where they have all the rocking chairs, which is like one of my favorite places to chill out and just take a load off. So that was like the Welcome Center. It was the cabin. The Sawmill that we mentioned earlier is now Blaze Pizza. And next time you're in there, take a look around. You'll see antique woodworking equipment in a few places. They have these cool hooks holding up like the menu. They have like old furnace looking thing in the back corner. The exterior of this building has a faded logo that says Buena Vista Timber Company, established 1868. The orange, lime, and other citrus crops that were planted around Town Center are now parking structures named after those crops, which I always wondered where that came from, too. I was always like, that makes sense. So they have the orange, the lime, and the grapefruit garages. So that's where that came from. As well as the lemon and strawberry surface lots, which I didn't even know those existed.
I was going to say, if you're wondering what is the lemon lot or the strawberry lot, like, strawberry. The lemon lot is a backstage lot now. So don't worry, you're not missing anything. It's usually just construction vehicles. Although I've driven back there, you're truly not missing anything. The strawberry lot is interesting because that's the surface parking for Disney Springs, like the west side area.
Yeah.
And it's most of it is actually cast parking. But when it's busy, like Christmas time and stuff, they also open that up for guest parking. So it's possible you've parked over there.
The Cirque du Soleil?
It's in Westside, so near the Cirque du Soleil, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Now you know what those are named after. And then just a few other notes on this Town Center section. Amaretts, is it Amaretts? Is that how you say it?
Amaretts Patisserie.
Yeah, Amaretts Patisserie is named after the fictional pastry-making family that lived above the kitchen. So legend has it that a dummy waiter still lowers treats down to the storefront. And if you look above the store, you'll see the windows of the living quarters, which I think is really cool. And the name Amaret means little love in French.
And you might not know where this is, right? So this is, if you happen to park in the Lime Garage or you took the buses and you're making that right and you're heading towards World of Disney, it's kind of the end of this section. But it's there. And I've never once paid attention to the Amaretts building before. But of course, doing the research, you stand back a few steps and you can see the windows that there are not like storefront windows, they're residential windows. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the whole thing.
Up there.
So they say that the dummy waiter lowers down, and allegedly the Amaret family is still baking to
still
this day.
Up there. Across from the Chapel Hat store is also a faded logo painted on a brick wall that reads Springs Brand Mineral Water, clear and refreshing.
Yeah, because you know, so this part of the storyline was that they bottled the water, and there was a logo for it.
Yeah. And then lastly, as you walk around the landing, you might see ornate wall grills. And some of these are just to hide, honestly, the Wi-Fi routers. But that was just something else that they kind of threw in there to kind of like give a throwback. But also, you know, it works to cover up the Wi-Fi routers for them. So if you're looking for Wi-Fi, go stand near those grates.
It blew my mind, by the way.
You might get a better signal.
It blew my mind to read that. So as soon as I found that out, I was like, okay. How did I not miss these things? So
I know we need to post some pictures of those.
Just walk around and you'll start to notice, like, on the sides of buildings, like, oh, that's right. There's this like iron looking square that just has no purpose. And I was like, oh, that's like a fun decoration. And no, they're Wi-Fi routers, which, by the way, we all know they exist.
Yeah.
But they're hidden. And I don't know if every single one of them is, maybe not, but enough of them are for it to be mentioned.
Yeah.
Like, holy moly.
So many nuggets. I feel like you could literally do a whole like day tour. We're not even done. All right. Take us to the marketplace area next.
Yeah. So we mentioned there were four sections. So we talked about the landing and Town Center. The marketplace, this is a really specific storyline for the marketplace. Legend has it that a socialite fell in love with the area next to the spring and built a quaint small boutique hotel there to be able to spend time in the area. Shortly after that, a small village emerged around it, and then this area became known as the Marketplace. It became more of a residential district, like a village, if you will, where the townspeople could live. Instead of having to go back to where they used to live, they could actually move in and just kind of be in the area to be in the beautiful environment with the water and everything else. Its inhabitants included the Bridgemaster, who was responsible for opening and closing the swing bridge to enter town. Over time, it grew in popularity and began to acquire roadside attractions, including one centered around the discovery of an Apatosaurus humerus bone. That's very humorous. It became so popular that the village causeway was built. Okay, let's kind of break these couple of things down.
Yeah, I was like, what a random thing.
Yes. So the, quote, roadside attraction that came to Marketplace is none other than T-Rex Cafe, the dinosaur mentioned there.
Oh, see, and that all makes sense because I was always like, this restaurant makes zero sense. I don't get it. And now I'm like, ah, okay.
Yes. So this was, basically it was like an imported attraction, if you will. Yeah. The dinosaur that was mentioned, the Apatosaurus, is one with that big, long neck and body. So that's the skeleton that you can see as you're walking around. Another roadside attraction came to the area. Any idea what that might be? It's owned by the same company.
The Rainforest
Cafe with the erupting volcano. So in the storyline, visitors were traveling from wherever to see the big dinosaur stuff and the big erupting volcano and then going eating in the rainforest and stuff. So over time, the actual attraction just kind of became the sit-down restaurant where now you can get a burger and a salad or whatever the heck you're eating.
Yeah.
The Village Causeway is the additional footpath bridge that was built to offer a second route for the travelers to navigate the marketplace. That's like it connects kind of where the Rainforest Cafe is across the water to give more of the... It added a hypotenuse in the triangle of the marketplace to cut down on some walking. But this is also something I just never noticed before until doing this research. But if you walk over the bridge, you'll see like the big archway there. And there's a big logo that says Village Causeway 1938, which was a date that we had said earlier.
Yeah.
It's just one of those days that stands out. Yeah, it just stands out in the history of the early 1900s of the Village Marketplace. I mentioned one of the inhabitants of the marketplace area was the bridge master. This bridge master lived in a little brick home that is now known as B.B. Wolf's Sausage. Of course, it's in a brick home because that's the one that can withstand the big bad wolf, right? Additionally, and again, you're going to hear me say it for the 19th time, had no idea. If you look down and look around, it's at the base of the bridge. Hello, it's at the base of what would have been the swing bridge, as I mentioned in the thing. I had no idea. I would not have guessed none of this stuff. It's like, oh my gosh, all these things. And if you're wondering, how come we didn't know about this? They don't want you to know, it seems. You read the description from the website.
Listen, people, if you're driving down to Disney, you need to listen to this episode because this will make Disney Springs so much cooler to go to at this point.
So much stuff. So much stuff.
You can almost do like your own little... scavenger hunt with it, you know what I mean? Which just gave me an idea to make a scavenger hunt.
A couple more notes about the marketplace area. Just some fun facts I've heard around town. Goofy's Candy Company, which is kind of close to Rainforest Cafe, just across there, contains the Goof-O-Matic machine. I need a good Goof-O-Matic machine because this one is set to create 10,000 pounds of candy at a time. Interesting. The Goof-O-Matic.
Yeah.
If you've ever been on that far side of Marketplace, so if you go past Goofy's Candy and then you'll see the Christmas shop on your right, Rainforest in front of you, and you kind of make that right-hand turn next to the nice art shop where I will go in and I put my hands in my pockets because if I knock over anything, screwed. Back there is a walkway to neighboring Disney's Saratoga Springs Resort, and the bridge is like this beautiful like art... is this beautiful wood constructed thing. And of course, there's a boat launch there as well. And it's no ordinary bridge. That bridge that connects the marketplace to Saratoga Springs Resort is modeled after the timber bridges that were built in the 1800s that would allow travelers to walk over things like swamps and wetlands or little bodies of water. However, it's actually made of concrete planks. They wanted it to sustain a little longer than normal wood. Normal wood would rot with that type of temperature. Yeah, with that type of temperature and there being water underneath it and the humidity. So it's concrete, but it's meant to look like the same bridges that would have existed in the 1800s. We also mentioned the hotel that was built by the Socialite. I still need to know a little bit more information about this Socialite.
Who is the Socialite?
That hotel was transformed completely and became World of Disney.
Makes sense because that place is ginormous.
Gigantic. this whole area has undergone several name changes over the years. Walt Disney World Village, Disney Village Marketplace, then Downtown Disney Marketplace, and then just Marketplace. But the idea of it being a village makes sense because the storyline here is that it was built as a hotel. It became a village type thing and then it wound up attracting a bunch of more stuff.
Also, I don't know anyone that has ever said the previous names. It's always Downtown Disney. But I guess that's just the time.
Before our time.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it opened up.
But even like earlier. Older people that it's like, oh, Downtown Disney. And I'm like, yeah, like no one's ever said the Walt Disney World Village or Disney's Village Marketplace.
I work with people who call it the Village.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The I mean, they're I mean, in their 60s.
I want to meet them. I'm like, that's cool.
You're not missing anything. But yeah. I'm just kidding, everyone. But yeah, they, I still, I
hear apparently, we're all missing a ton of stuff. I guess so. Which is why we needed these episodes. Okay, on the west side, it is on the other side of the springs. And it was a neighborhood. So it was home to a fishing lodge and a campsite for settlers to gather around and play music. Eventually, the Sunshine Railway connected the springs to Western Florida, which brought in more visitors. As we talked about before, Greg was talking about how like the railways turned into like more visitors coming. An observatory was built by the railway tycoons to help astronomers view the skies. And in the mid-1900s, something similar to a World's Fair on a smaller scale and called the Grand Centennial rolled into town with large exhibition halls being built at that time as well. This whole area became known as West Side. And when the expo ended, some folks basically just set up permanently there. So if you remember Centennial, that was something that was used before in a sign that we talked about. So that was the reference to this Grand Centennial, which was sort of like a small World's Fair. So the fishing lodge that kicked off this area is now the House of Blues. The expo building, which was used for the Grand Centennial, is now the AMC Theater. The High Line Railroad can still be seen right across from the Candy Cauldron and the Marvel store.
Have you seen it? Do you know what we're talking about?
I feel like vaguely, like if I was there, I'd be like, oh yeah, it's crazy. Cause it's a lot of these things. You're like, you've probably seen them a bunch of times. You just never really notice them.
Cause it doesn't serve a function. I think that's what's so interesting about this. And it's just like you said, across from the Marvels and the candy cauldron and stuff. And then on the other side of the, what's left of the High Line are the food trucks. So it's like this little circle of road, but if you're just walking by, you might not notice it, but just look around because it's just, it's an elevated train track. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
It doesn't serve any purpose. It's literally there just for storyline.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, that's Disney for you.
Yeah.
So the observatory that we talked about where that was made for astronomers, it was built by the railway company. That is now Planet Hollywood Observatory, which kind of makes sense if you think about it. And then the fairgrounds, which was part of the old expo, is now home to Cirque du Soleil. Which makes sense because it kind of looks like, I mean, that's why it looks like that. It looks like a big circus tent. So another note about this is that the poster in Deluxe Burger we mentioned earlier is the advertisement for, that's what I was talking about, the Grand Centennial Expo. It shows a photo of the Cirque du Soleil tent. So that's like the tie in there. It's not just a random thing to get you to go to Cirque du Soleil.
I had to Google what a Grand Centennial meant because, by the way, it's a real thing. Disney didn't make up the concept of a Grand Centennial Expo. I mean, obviously, we all know about the world, like the World's Fair stuff.
Yeah.
But it's the same type of thing. And, of course, it fit in right there in Disney Springs. Some more numbers about that theater, in case you're wondering. It is 1,671 seats in that theater. But that's crazy. Pretty good for just like a kind of out of nowhere thing. And it features a 13,100-foot stage. Now the stage may have changed over time because now it has changed its show, but it's like, it's pretty big up on
that's
the inside
pretty
big
there. Stage. You're like, what's that stage made of? Jeez. Especially when acrobatics going on.
You might also see some lemongrass roofs on the Starbucks at Disney Springs West Side, or those types of walls that have like living stuff in it. Did you know that the lemongrass that's on the roof of the Starbucks was grown in a nursery locally, and it was that nursery used coffee composts from the local Starbucks cafes to help grow the lemongrass on the building.
Man, Disney, you crazy.
Get out of here.
I know. I remember when I used to, when I worked at Starbucks, we would have like gardeners and stuff come in all the time because they would literally just pick up huge garbage bags full of grounds.
Yeah.
Because we would always just put them in like, they would always like basically be by themselves in a garbage bag and they would just come and pick them up because we're like, yeah, it's so good for, and I tell people, I'm like, you have old coffee, just put it in your garden or put it in like some of your indoor plants or whatever. Yeah. Like they love that stuff.
My gosh. So I feel like we've talked a lot about, the Starland, but I feel like the big pieces, the highlights here were originally founded by Martin Sinclair, who built a cabin, a ranch, a sawmill. And I think it's so cool to think that the hub, the very beginning, the origin of Disney Springs was a cabin and a ranch. And that ranch, not only is it Deluxe Burger, which I think is a good burger and good fries, I love their, incidentally, ranch dressing. I think it's so, really it's good so ranch. Good. Their garlic
All
ranch
their
is
sauces
so good.
Are good. Yeah. The garlic ranch. Ooh, it's so good.
And that's like the epicenter of it. It's one of my favorite places to go at Springs happens to be Deluxe Burger. And the idea that after that, all of these things happen. I know you mentioned a few things in the sawmill that is now Blaze Pizza, but I really hope you all get to go there. At the very least, go on Google Maps because there's actual good, like, empty restaurant photos in the street view where you just, as you start to look around, you're like, oh my God, this is way more decoration and stuff than I would have realized is just a pizza place.
I think the lesson here too is like, look up and look down.
Yes.
Right? Like, as always in Disney, it's like, look up and look down.
Yeah.
Not everything is going to be an eye line, and pretty much every single thing that you see. And if you're wondering, like, I wonder what that's for. It's for something.
It's for something.
You know, as like any Disney property, it's like, it's for something. You just got to figure out what it is.
If you look around everywhere, you'll see the Disney Springs logo. It's usually like the round thing that has the main, what they call the gateway building.
Like, I think of the
town
water
center.
Tower too. I'm like, the water tower. I've definitely seen the water tower like.
I
put it together. I was like, oh, yeah, Springs, whatever. But, like, never really, thought about the whole storyline there.
I mean, a water tower and a Springs?
If you hear that car going by.
The town seal is something you'll see everywhere. That's that circular logo that's on all the garbage cans. You'll see it also line the bridge, the village causeway. Okay. You'll see it posted in, like, it looks like step and repeats for when, like, celebrities walk in front of, like, the thing you don't talk about, or it's, like, the repeated pattern. You'll see that as you start to approach the Lime Garage, too, just as a specific example. But all of them include what they call the gateway building in Town Center, because that's what they think is the doorway to Disney Springs, the building that most guests walk through because you're coming in. Yeah. Most guests coming off either the buses or, that's all guests, either the buses or the parking garages. Everyone kind of goes through that area.
Make you look at Market Street a little bit differently too.
Yeah, so that's that covered walkway that has the stores that I just never buy anything from, right?
Well,
and they
I
are
know,
boutique-y kind
I'm
of.
I'm like,
you
know? Vera Bradley's in that like area, so that's why I always think of. I was like, Vera Bradley's over there.
Yeah.
I feel like there's another like high end store that's over there that I'm not thinking
Sugar Boo.
No, I don't know what Sugar Boo is. Oh. Sugar Boo.
It is a real store.
Sounds pretty country.
Yes. And then I guess one last thing I'll mention about Springs, kind of summing up the main storyline, is that in that town seal, or as you start to see the logo of Disney Springs around Disney Springs, they choose to put a depiction of the original springs with the water ripples radiating out from the center to symbolize how this pure water source, this medicinal magic source of water, and maybe more, was the central item to the creation of everything else in the town.
Magic. It's magical.
Magic water.
Also, don't drink it. It's not really magical, everyone, okay? I feel like I have to say that because we are American.
It's true.
This is not our podcast saying that this water is really magical. It's storyline, okay? Just want to say that so we don't get sued by someone.
Well, thanks, everyone, for coming on this journey. So we're probably ending the episode a little earlier than usual, but there's no way we could fit all of that and then also all of the rest of Disney
And your
Springs.
Hand's probably hurting from taking
from
all,
taking
the notes,
all these
so,
notes.
You know.
Yeah, so next time you'll hear us talk about Pleasure Island. There's also a lot of transformation. We talked about the storyline of the transformation, but there's so many things that used to exist at Disney Springs that I can't wait to talk about. And, of course, we'll do a little rundown as to like what stores are around so you know what to get and where. And you know, our normal like recommendations and all that stuff and the construction history and whatnot on part two of our Disney Springs rundown. And I don't have a quote for you all this week.
All right.
Instead,
Craig,
I want to play,
you know what? I'm done with all of you.
No, I want to play a little, one more clip of a song and maybe, you know, well, I'll tell you the name or the title of the song I previously played, but then this one you'll have to guess.
Okay.
But before that, if you like what you heard today, feel free to like, subscribe, head over to iTunes, leave us a review over there. I do greatly appreciate it. Beth greatly appreciates it. We both collectively greatly appreciate it.
We do.
It is nice to see the good reviews in. Plus, it just helps us grow a little bit. It's nice to advertise. Whenever I'm reaching out to a guest, maybe someone that doesn't know us or whatever, I always throw in because for a while we had a 5.0 rating, which is hard to get. We have a 4.9. because of some turd. But we have a form. Like, it's good. It's nice to have a nice rating.
You know what? It's language like that, Greg, that got us into that position in the first place.
I would say sue me, but please don't. But it's nice to be able to you know, it kind of helps us have a little more credibility, right? We're not just making a fool. We are making a fool out of ourselves sometimes, but enough to get a 4.9, I guess. If you want to follow along on Instagram, we're still in the season of Flower and Garden, so I've been doing the contest I've been doing the guessing game of which Disney topiary is this, what character is this. Soon we'll be debuting a different type of game. This is where I get to say Patch had heard it first, but we got to talk a little bit about that. But that's coming. We also have our personal Instagram accounts. I am at the Disney Greg.
I am at the Real Beth McDonald.
You can also find the Real Beth McDonald or at Simplistic Thrills for some fun Disney and other inspired merchandise and memes and fun stuff. And your boy, that's me. I have a side piece project, a side piece pod called the Quick Escape Pod. And this week we have a mystery guest on who got us. Not only did he get us all, I said it's a he, but it won't matter. Not only did this mystery guest get us all to gasp at the same time, it caused one of our co-hosts to disappear from the conversation. And I'm not even being dramatic and making that up. That's you'll hear it. That's what happened.
His name is Roger. I'm just kidding.
It could be. That's over at the Quick Escape Pod on Instagram. And you can head over to our website, thatparklifepodcast.com, if you want to ask us anything. There's an Ask Beth and Greg link. Shout out to Courtney, who submitted a question that I was able to answer today. You know what? I'll share that question because I think it's a question that other people might have.
Okay.
And her question was, does Disney still do rollaway beds in rooms? And I was like, you know what? I didn't tell her this, but I had to look it up because I couldn't remember. And they do. Not only does Disney do rollaway beds in the non-DVC resorts, by the way, in the DVC resorts and possibly both, they also, if available, if they do have stock, they might also be able to offer you an air mattress.
Oh, okay.
And they're clear on the website, on the Disney website, that this does not increase the maximum occupancy of the room. So if it's a room that sleeps five, by putting in a rollaway bed, that doesn't mean it sleeps six. You still only can have five names on the reservation. It just might make sharing of beds a little bit more comfortable for your traveling party.
And how nice would it, though, to be? I mean, I know rollaway beds are nice, but it's pretty nice to, like, have them set up an air mattress, and then you don't have to, like, worry about taking it down.
Yeah.
That's
nice.
Doing the awkward lay on it and get the all air out.
Yes.
That's the worst part.
I think we've done trips where we brought our own if we were trying to get more people to be able to sleep.
We've definitely done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've definitely done that. But then it's like, you never know. It's always like, well, this has been sitting in a bag for a while. Hope it works. And then that person pretty much wakes up on the floor and you're like, sorry.
So comfortable.
Had that before, too.
Oh, gosh. So that's anyway. On our website, thatapocalyptepodcast.com. You can ask us a question. Or in the search bar, just type in a topic or maybe a resort that you're traveling to and find a resort rundown or anything else like that on our website. We have our Amazon storefront where you can see what we bring to the parks, and you can use your regular, old, everyday Amazon account. Nothing extra for you, but we do get a little something, if you do purchase something.
And none for Gretchen Wieners.
Yes, through our link. If you want more of us, I know we've been mentioning our what we call our Pat Chat, our Patreon bonus episode that's weekly. You can access that via our Patreon page. That is patreon.com/thatparklifepodcast. You'll get an ad-free version of this pod, our bonus episodes, access to Greg's high-def pictures and videos and stuff if you want to make, I don't know, wallpapers or whatever you want to do with it. The world is your oyster there. You'll have access to our Discord channel, our close friends feature on Instagram, all that stuff on our Patreon. Okay, so I played a clip of a song earlier, and that was Colors of the Wind from Pocahontas.
Have you ever heard the wolf cry to the blue corn moon, which is really a thing because we talked about it on our podcast. Okay, do the next clip.
Okay, so we'll end this episode with a little more Disney Springs area music. And if you know this, feel free to send us a quick little message, quick little massage.
Got it.
On Instagram if you know what this song is. All right, bye, everyone.
Bye.